Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, this morning as we get into your word, I ask the Holy Spirit, Father, to come forward and open my heart and my mind to be receptive to this word, Father, so that I can not only see it and hear it, Father, that I can take hold of it, bring it into my life, and live it, so that I can help others to come from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the words that come this morning from me be not mine but yours, Father, as the Holy Spirit speaks through me. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this saying, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Romans chapter 11. We had started through chapter 11 yesterday. We had gotten through the 12th verse. We'll be picking up here with verse 13. But you know, these first 12 verses have been dealing with Israel and the Lord God. And Paul is letting us know, because these questions asked in these verses, if Israel had fallen come out of God's program. No, they hadn't. They are still his people. He turned, because as it was prophesied by the old prophets, we'll be getting into some of that, that they would be always a remnant But he's using us, the Gentile people. Really? To make them see and to understand so that they will all turn to the Lord Jesus, in which they've never done as of yet. There are quite a few of the Jewish people that are accepting Jesus. But as of yet, the nation has not turned. But it is coming. It will take place. It will happen. All right, let's pick up there now with verse 13. He says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." He's magnifying his own office here. 14. "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." He's talking here, Paul is, about the Jewish people. And he's wanting to provoke them into becoming the child of God. 15. "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Now we know here Israel's rejection brought the greatest blessing the Gentile world ever had, and we know that. That's why Paul was sent through the world. Now, the Gentile people have never been taught anything about the true God. And we find that the preaching of the gospel to the world, when she has restored the blessing to appear to the world, will be even greater. Paul anticipates worldwide millennial blessings and salvation when Israel returns to the Lord. And it will happen because we are told that in the scripture. Now it's been foretold that they will turn back. 17. "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root, the fatness of the olive tree." Now some of the branches broken off. Israel is set aside, but there is a remnant at that wild olive tree grafted in among them. Now the Gentiles do not displace Israel. They merely partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Paul recognizes both a unity of the church with Israel as enjoying the same blessing and diversity, neither usurping the other. Neither one to overrule the other. Because you see, we are, and everyone that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew or Gentile, we all become members of the family of Almighty God. Now, so it really don't matter who we are, as long as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 18. "Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. The 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. You see, if God's chosen people have been broken off because of unbelief, He's warning you and I not to be high-minded, but to fear. And He tells us why here in 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. And if we do not walk in the Word and in the Spirit of Almighty God, we can be broken off also and lose out in making our home. 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. If we don't walk with Him, and we don't live by His word, we can be cut off just like they were. Now, and you see, we have a lot of Jewish people right now coming under grace and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. I see it quite a bit. And I watch several of the rabbis that are teaching the truth of the gospel. And we even send them gifts because Israel right now is needing all the help they can get because they are under an attack. And the attack they're under is not really for land or anything that way, as they were told is happening. It's demonic. They didn't attack Israel and attack Israel's army. They came in against the civilians, against women and children. They was raping the women and the children, the young girls, and even cutting off the heads of babies. This is not for land. They want to get rid of all of the Jewish people. But I got news for them. That's not going to happen because the Word says it won't. Now, here we are now, 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in but God is able to graft them in again. In other words, those that will come to him and repent of their sins, just like you and I, and are forgiven for their sins and accept him and put their faith and trust in him, you know, tells us right there, they'll be accepted. They'll be, as it's all here, grafted them in again. 24. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is lost by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Now, he's letting us know how these things work. You know, when we really look at those verses 19 through 24, it says when God is finished with the Gentiles, he will reinstate Israel. Israel was set aside because of unbelief. The Gentiles have favor because of their belief. And you see, they did. When Paul first went through them and started establishing churches, they took right to it. Because they had never been taught about the great I Am, the true living God. Therefore, they would not be proud, but realize that intrinsic nature does not matter to our deter God. And they should realize that God is capable of setting the Gentiles aside and of grafting Israel in again. This is precisely what he will do. All of the Gentiles that are not walking with Jesus, when this time comes, will be set aside just like the Jewish people. They'll be set aside. Now, we know that he'll do what he says he will do. Now, 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is part, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Now, you see this mystery he's talking about here. Compare Matthew 13:11 and Romans 16:1. Corinthians 1:7-10, Ephesians 3:3, the fullness of the Gentiles refer to the time when the last Gentile will have been saved and the church will be removed from the earth by the rapture. It is distinct from the time of the Gentiles, which refers to the period of time from the Babylonian captivity to the rapture of the church. You see, there's coming a time to where the last Gentile be saved? God knows. We don't. He knows who it is. But right now, this is what we are waiting on. Is that last Gentile to be saved. Now, 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. 29. For the gift and calling of God are without repentance. Those gifts of Almighty God and His calling of us are without repentance. 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. 32. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. You know, looking at 26 through 32 there, and listening, and so all Israel shall be saved. National salvation to Israel. You hear this? This is the ultimate fulfillment of the new covenant and will be realized when Jesus returns to earth to set up his kingdom. All weaves together Psalms 14:7, Isaiah 59:22-21, and Jeremiah 31:31 to show that he understood the Old Testament literally, and that the Old Testament prophesied Israel deliverance from sin. And yes, it's all there. God cannot do otherwise because of his promise to the Father and his unconditional covenant. God has set Israel aside temporarily for the sake of the Gentiles, but he has not forgotten them because of his promise to the fathers. Now, you know, a lot of things we need to realize. And there is a lot of anesthetic against the Jewish nation, even from the American people, and that should never be. We need to be watching out for them, praying for them and with them, loving them because they are, and we should be just as God is about our love for them. And they are to love us. That has become the children of Almighty God. Because there is to be no difference in us. And as we just read earlier, that there'll be no one, not one of us over the other. No. We all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Almighty God, 33. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? And of course, none of us. We don't know his mind. We're sure not his counselor. Most of us don't even want to stay in the Word long enough for the time to really learn how to walk as a child of God. 34. That's what 34 is telling us. For who has known the mind of the Lord, for who has been with him? 35. For who has first given to him, and it shall be recompense unto him again. Well, we're coming now to the last verse. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. God is the source of all things. Of him. God is the channel of all things. Through him, God is the goal of all things, to him. The man's only proper response to God is to worship him. Now, how do we do it? And are we truly worshiping him? Or are we hiding most of the time because we want to do things our way and we don't want to spend the time with God? That's the way most are walking today. Over 50% of our churches today are meeting one day a week. One service, actually. Sunday morning. No other service during the week. Just Sunday morning. You can't live your life for God by going to church one service a week. And that's why so many of our churches are closing today. Because of the falling away of the people. Because those churches are not teaching them the truth of God's Word. Or they would be having something to do almost every day. Which is really what we're supposed to be doing. But mankind don't want to do that. I don't want to get into God's Word every day. That's your choice. But it is also a choice that can send you to hell for eternity. And that lake of fire. Instead of you being able to make heaven your home and spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and all. Almighty God. You see, we are to be reconciled back to Him. And we are to spend our time here on this earth, and everything we do for Him. And is as if we were doing it for Him. You don't stop thinking about these things today. How much time are you really spending in prayer? If you're not spending time in His Word, then most likely you're not spending time in it. Not enough time in His Word either. You know, when He first came to me with this of having these studies every day and twice a day, I thought, Lord, people are not going to listen twice a day, every day. He said, but you will be putting it out there. And they'll have nobody to blame but themselves when they stand before me. Well, yes, there is a lot of days, even on the internet, all I am teaching, there'll be no one on the internet that I'm on. But I am finding out that they download later and listen to them. I'm meeting some of them even. I had a young lady been here the last couple of days. Her husband will be back today. She showed me on her phone. She comes in on YouTube, her and her family. And they usually, she catches some of them of the evening as I'm doing them. But most of the morning ones, she catches later. She downloads them and catches them later. And she was showing them to me on her phone where she had it. Well, she has put them on her phone so she can listen to them or parts of them whenever she really wants to. It keeps her informed that way. And it helps her to remember things that she needs to remember. You see, God knows what He's doing. Sometimes we don't understand. It's been quite a while now. I'm just now finding out. Because I'll tell you what. It is hard to teach when you know there is no one at all listening to you at that time. But I'm finding out, see, that there are those out there listening. And I'm gaining others all the time. All right, we've come to the end now of chapter 11. We'll be stopping there for this morning. And God willing, we'll be getting into chapter 12 this evening as we go through the New Testament again. You say, well, why just keep going to it? To keep your memory stirred up. To keep things fresh in your mind. To help you to have the strength to walk as a child of Almighty God. To help you to build your faith and your trust in Him. And also, to give you no excuse whatsoever. That way your blood is not on my hands. I am doing what God told me to do. And I will do that. Whatever He tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Until I step out of this life and into the next. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I close your word, Father, and we thank you for the word, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for Israel. I pray, Father, for them to have peace. But Father, even more than that, I pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. This land of ours, Father, that is so filled with evil because of those that are sitting in high places, that has brought this so much evil upon this land and our people, putting things into being that should never have been so done, and our churches accepting things they should never have let in the front door. Father, I pray that for those that are sitting in these offices that have brought this evil upon this land and our people, be removed from office and replaced with those that are yours. Those, Father, that will do your work. Because they love you, they love the Lord Jesus, they love the church and your people and this land. And they'll work with us, Father, to put our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those that are in my heart this morning. Any powers, Tennessee, James Taylor, Amy and Tom and Jacob and Bobby and Billy, my wife, Father, Gordon and Shane, Sue, Daryl and Nettie, and all of our families, Lord, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our brothers and sisters and mothers, dads and our wives, our husbands. We know, Father, that we have those in our family that are walking in darkness. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to work with them, to help them to come to a knowledge of knowing that they need something more than themselves. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be able to make heaven their home. We know, Father, the time is going short. We don't know when, just how short. But Father, we know that it is going short. The word tells us that. Told us what to even watch for. And it tells us that when we see these things begin to happen, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Father, I pray that for all of these, that none be lost, and if we separate now, to go through this day. Father, keep us all in health, keep us in safety and bring us back together again this evening, Father. It's 6 p.m. Eastern time. Back into your word. Father, this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great, great day.